Hello again, and welcome back once again to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is still brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. Coins Plus is always, and I mean always, folks, actively involved in the purchase and the sale of all forms of rare coins and precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, etc., and such and such, and so forth and so on. We've been doing this a while. I've said it time and time again. We've been doing it for over a couple decades. That's a long time. I mean, to you, you're like, yeah, that's your business. It is the weirdest thing to be a person who owns a business that was given to them by God and to have seen such a roller coaster ride, to see, you know, we've seen it all. I mean, we have seen it all. I have been blessed, oh my gosh, beyond. In fact, we're working on a website. Shocker, you've heard that before. But actually, it's true. But it actually has been going on for quite some time. There's a story to that. First of all, we use this company called BHW1, which is a marketing company in town who was run by, still is, a guy who I considered a good friend, I guess. And he had subcontracted, if you know what that means, the job off to another guy, a private individual. And it just, it went on and on and on and on. I mean, beyond, my patience was like way, way too much. It just was way too much. I tolerated way too much. I think you're getting the point. And I won't even tell you how many years I tolerated a failure to perform or provide. What happened was he wanted to sell me a cookie cutter, simplistic, you know, the same website everybody else has. However, at an exorbitant premium. So I came in and I said, hey, these are our needs, and they are quite substantial. And they were. We have a dynamic web feed need. That's where a majority of our products, especially precious metals, are constantly being fed by spot price. So you have a continuous changing economy, or I guess if you want to call it that, a continuously changing price level that never stops, never ends, never quits, whatever you want to call it. It's just always uniform, always consistent, never changing, always the same. That sounds really boring. It's actually the opposite. It's always changing. Anyway, so you get the point. You put in gold eagles and maples and whatnot, and it changes. Our old website does that. We haven't utilized our old website forever. So the most recent challenge, if you will, that they decided to do, why I don't know, is this new Kevin Walter, you know, kind of promotional expert thing where they key off on, they're keying off on my skills, abilities, history, you know, that sort of thing. And And then they're using that to kind of drag people, draw people, lead people to our website eventually in time, I guess. So they recently did this bio thing. And I was just kind of thinking in the back of my mind, I wonder if I should go over that. And then I thought, okay, I have all these folders on my computer. I have Apple, and I just, Apple email is probably, you know, fantastic. The problem is that I quote, grew up on PC. That's the magic word. The IBM PC format, right? That's my background. That's my skill. And so when it comes to Apple, I'm not a big fan of it. There's just a lot of things about it. You'd think if that's all they do for the consumer end, that they'd be, in some cases, a lot more user-friendly. I got the new iPhone XS Max a while ago. From the day I got it, it was a lemon. I mean, a lemon. And if you don't know what the term lemon means, look up online lemon law. Okay? They have lemon laws for cars. A friend of mine just bought a Ford Expedition. I'm talking brand new, like maybe within a year. Over 51 days in the shop. Finally, Ford steps up to the plate, you know, and honestly, that's actually a big deal. When I was in the, some of you who listened to me a while realized that I actually did a little stint in the car business back in the early mid-90s, just because I got in a situation and it provided a solid income while I looked for another job, number one. Number two, I've always been just a car fanatic, and I just thought, you know, foolishly, by the way, I thought, what a great combination, you know, combine my true passion with my business. Well, the two, in my opinion, have nothing in common. The car business is it's ruthless, it's brutal. The money doesn't go to the employees. It goes to the owner pretty heavily. They get what's called holdback. That's where they do all this invoice selling now. You know, where they say, we'll sell an invoice. Well, they do, but then they get 7% back at the end of the year. When you get a dealer like Dave Smith's on certain products, they'll get up to 12% back. They get these unbelievable vacations to Hawaii for huge groups and so on and so forth. Personally, I would love to own a car dealership. I mean, I still love cars and I would love dealing in them, and I think I'd be very good at it. I know that a lot of you are like, ugh, you know, and you're probably right. Going to a car dealer is not the most comfortable experience that you could have. However, going to a coin dealer is not a comfortable experience usually either. We tried to create a business that is not uncomfortable for you to come to. And so I just had a deal this last week that was at the very least just sad. I don't fully and completely understand it, but a customer of ours for a long time. I mean, when I was building my building back in 2004-05, I gave him a personalized tour of it, so I know he was a customer then and years before. And he had a very substantial amount of money, about $1.5 million. And he, you know, I think was in a position where I know because I've been through the death of a close family member. He was needy, I think. And and maybe I didn't meet those needs, etc. So he somehow gets hooked up with some company called Dakota Depository, okay? Now, here's the thing you got to understand about what we do, okay? We have access to everything. I mean, we have access to everybody who is licensed in this industry, okay? What their facility is like, who owns it, how long have they been in business? But most importantly to us, are they on some of the major networks that we use, like Certified Coin Exchange, Coinnet, etc.? These networks, hypothetically, I always use that word, but hypothetically, you do a background research check. Now, you know why I say hypothetically, because I hope they do a good background research check. But in this case, this client, who is, believe it or not, like a PhD engineer who works out of his home in Idaho, went and spent $1.5 million and got about exactly half of that. What's worse is he was sold silver 90% coinage, okay? Just silver. And the way the guy broke down the receipts, I saw it made it look like each bag of $500 face value. Now, remember, a bag of 90% silver, what we term a bag, is $1,000 face value. So if you take $1,000 face value of old U.S. coinage and you sell it as a quantity, it's a bag, and there's about 715 ounces per bag, okay? So if, just say hypothetically silver is $20 an ounce. You're going to take the 715 times 2, which is 14.3, and then add on some premium or whatever. But, you know, so it's going to run you like 15 times the face value will give you the silver content of the bag. It's also what it should cost you. Anyway, without further ado on that situation, this client got caught up with the guy who, and I'll tell you what, this guy thought he hit the lottery. I mean, can you imagine for a moment? Having one client that you make $750,000 on, and you're operating out of your basement or something. This guy has, he's got like a Facebook page, and it's just very, it's not much, you know. He's got this, you know, Facebook page with a guy with a big beard, and, you know, it's just crazy. It's just not what, there's two pictures. There's a picture of a guy standing in front of a big safe, in front of a big concrete barrier, and a little logo that says Dakota Depository. That's it. And he's got a picture of a Sherman tank. Now, that really comes in important to me. If I'm going to invest my money with somebody, one of the most important things to me is that the guy has a Sherman tank. Now, that obviously is sarcastic. It doesn't matter. Who cares if he's got a Sherman tank? I don't think he has one. He's just got a picture of one. But it's to give this impression of what I don't know. He's got a picture of this depository. Now, this is kind of scary. He's got a door, and you can see through the back and concrete wall. I mean, this poor customer was in a bad time in his life, and he spent a ton of money. folks, you guys are out there. You guys are out there. You know, there's people out there that have this kind of money. Don't do this. I mean, this guy spent double. So then here's what's scary. He goes, well, I'm just going to start liquidating. I said, no, you're not. I said, you are going to get those 70 bags of silver, which he should have about 150. You're going to get them shipped back to you. You're going to get them into your possession. And I am going to help you to restructure your portfolio so that we can solidify portions of it. We can't. We'll just balance it out the way it ought to be. Folks, the point of saving and investing and, you know, hard assets is not to try to get rich quick. This guy that I'm talking about bought all silver. Wouldn't have mattered, but he bought nothing but silver. That's what he wanted, was silver. Why? Because he wanted a quick flop, a quick growth. He wanted it to go up. He wanted to turn it and burn it and make a quick buck. I think part of the reason he didn't come and see me, he and I had talked, and I told him, Ken, I said, when you've got that kind of money, it's critical that we balance you out. Now, had the market gone down, he'd probably be grumbling at me and saying, Kevin, I lost 4%. But you've got to understand, I always say this, folks, you do not understand what it is like to lose a tremendous amount of money until you've done it. I've done it. It hurts. It just hurts. And so people that maybe inherit some money or, you know, whatever, they assume everyone's alike. They assume everyone's honest. They assume that everything that's told them is true. They assume that, you know, all these people that are selling life insurance policies where you pre-buy them and, you know, all these different investment scams, they assume these people are true. And what's really important or relevant is if you listen to True Wealth, which you obviously are today, you can very likely get the wrong impression. What do I mean by that? We have been in business 20 plus years. We truly do have an impeccable reputation. I mean, it just is who we are. It's how we got there a certain way. We got our reputation by treating people right and doing the right thing all the time, by not playing games with people. That's the critical part, is we do what we say what we do. We never, ever, 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 excuse me, did I say ever? We never take your money and float it. If you bought 70 bags or 100 bags of silver from us, the minute we are funded, we are locked. And so are you. The only exception is this. If you're mailing a check, under certain circumstances, we will wait until we get the check before we will lock you in. But even at that point, the minute you're locked in, we have a 10-day hold on checks. People go crazy on 10-day holds. Oh, they're like, oh, it cleared my bank, you know, 5 days ago or whatever. Well, folks, I'll tell you what. I've been through stuff with the Fed that's gone 12 days. I had one deal one time where people at American Express, okay, If you've ever seen an American Express traveler's check, they are absolutely gorgeous. Not only are they gorgeous, in my opinion, they're about as close to non-counterfeitable as possible. You'll see a lot of this world money with clear windows in it. And inside of the window, in other words, you can see through it, you will have holograms and all kinds of things imprinted. Very tamper-proof currency. The U.S. uses paper money. Now we've got this $100 bill with a big, ugly blue stripe right down the middle of it. Which it's ugly. It's just ugly. Why in the world did they have to do that? Why could they not have integrated that into the design? I mean, the bill itself isn't so ugly, but boy, you get that blue stripe, it is ugly. And, you know, we used to make some of the most beautiful paper money in the world. If you get into old currency, and by the way, if you're balancing a portfolio, antique vintage currency is so rare and so desirable and so well performing. You almost can't afford not to have some of it in your portfolio. You know, it's just the way it goes. We want to do that. I mean, it's important that, you know, it's one of the things we offer in a balanced portfolio. My problem, to be honest with you, is I forget about it a lot. I wish I would remember more because we've had some unbelievably terrific notes, just terrific notes. Right now, I mean, I've got a nice inventory of notes. I also have some of my own. One of my favorites is the 1901 $10 Bison note with red seals. It's got a big, beautiful vignette of a buffalo, a.k.a. bison, on it. And it's all hand, you know, originally hand-drawn and then hand-carved into the die, which, as far as I'm concerned, is like, wow, how'd you do that? But they, back then, they knew how. The process of how dies were made is a very interesting process. I think you can probably learn it at one of the Mint Museums, probably Denver. Everybody seems to go to Denver to the museum there. I'm sure there's a museum in Philadelphia. But, you know, the workmanship of our old currency is just wow. Our new currency is not attractive, number one. Our new coinage is, first of all, it's lost so much spending power, it's become irrelevant. I mean, literally, you can find pennies all over parking lots because no one cares. They dump them. I give mine back to the teller. Anytime I buy anything, I don't want pennies. I get plenty here. We buy estates and collections. I specialize in silver dollars, coins, collections, estates, accumulations, etc. and so forth. But, you know, the bottom line is the only coins they make today that are attractive are copies of old coins. Like recently, they've made a reproduction high relief St. Gaudens. Okay. In 1907, the very first year of the St. Gaudens, they made for a short period of time in 1907, what's called a high relief, okay? And what that means is they stamped it so hard and the die was so dished. Actually, technically, the die was bowed. So the coin surface ends up the opposite of the die. So if a die bulges up, a coin is going to be recessed down. Does that make sense? It's kind of like pushing your fist into concrete, right? And so when you look at these old, you know, vignettes and the quality of things like that, and then you get into the early turn of the century, the 1907 high relief, we had Theodore Roosevelt, who demanded that "In God We Trust" is not on our coinage. He was an atheistic socialist. Why do people like this? Folks, we're back there again. you know, we've got this generational curse, which carries on to the third or fourth generation. I discussed last Friday, maybe, what's a generation? Why did I do that? Because in Matthew 24, Jesus sat his disciples down and explained to them in parables and loose terms that he was going to die and be buried and resurrect himself. And he did it in a way that until it was done, they didn't quite either grasp it or they didn't want to. Some of them would say, no, no, Master, no, Lord, no, this cannot happen to you. We will protect you, you know, and they meant it until you get Jesus captured and they're whipping him, flogging him, and Peter starts to deny Jesus. Jesus told Peter, he said, before the cock crows in the morning, you will reject me. And what was really sad, before the cock crows for the third time, I think he said, you will be, you know, rejected me. Peter said, no way, not me. Now, the first thing you get out of there, which is a little bit abstract, is the fact that they took Jesus, and I'm sorry, whenever I tell this stuff, it's painful, but it's our Lord and Savior. This is what he did for us, okay? And so I think it's important that we understand it. We understand what he did for us, right? And what he did for us is he took a whipping. I mean, folks, it is so bad. First of all, where do you get people that would do this for a living, okay? What kind of a sick, twisted individual would want to torture people for a living and enjoy it? Listening to people scream and blood flow and just watching them just writhe in the most extreme pain. They would take these whips and they'd have like eight strands and they would tie bone, sharpened bone on the ends of the leather, and then they would whip it across your back. And again, I apologize. This is just something that we need to understand our Lord did. They would whip it all the way around to your side and then pull, and they would literally pull ribbons of skin off of your back until finally there was no skin left on your back. Okay? This alone often ended in death because for infection and various reasons. Absolutely, tremendously horrible. Obviously not just designed to punish the violator. Obviously designed to strike absolute terror into the bystanders of this government, of the Roman soldiers. Then, so they did this to Jesus. Okay, and this is after they shoved a crown of thorns in his head. You know, after all, he said he was, they accused him of calling himself a king, which is very important to understand. Why? Because they wanted, you know, to make a point. Don't you challenge the king. And they, you know, if you think of some of these thorn bushes, I've been to Israel and I don't care where you go, but they believe, they showed us the bush that they believe that this crown of thorns was made out of. These thorns were as much as 2 to 3 inches long. They had a poisonous venom in them that, delivered an excruciating amount of pain. So they believed that they, you know, with obviously big leather gloves on, fashioned this big crown out of thorns and then pounded it into his head. So now the pain is just unbelievable. Waters, or not water, blood is just pouring down his face, and the pain is unbearable. They take him, they present him before the Jews. The Jews are like, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Pontius Pilate's like, on what crime? You know, and essentially there are no crimes. It's a spiritual act that the Jews are desiring to get rid of this guy. They have, you know, no crime that Christ was officially punished for. Okay. Now, when you get into this, you realize that the power of the Pharisees and the church, the Jewish church at the time, this is why we want separation of church and state. Religious zealots, okay? Now, we're Christian. We're like, okay, our foundation of our nation, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence clearly state that we're endowed with certain rights by our Creator, okay? And that's what these men said. These men said in the Declaration of Independence, they said, you know, that these are unalienable rights that cannot be taken away. They're God-given. They are not man-given. And man has no right to take them away, period. And so they, you know, our Declaration of Independence was said, look, we believe you're violating the fundamental rights of a human being's life on earth. And we believe that we have a right to fight. And they went as far, I am confident from my reading, to believe that they had the providential backing of the God of gods, Lord of lords, Master of the universe, Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Almighty, the one that, you know, created you and created me. Okay? So when they punished Jesus, they had, you know, I don't know exactly. I could go do some research on it. But the actual crime he was punished with was claiming to be king, according to the Jews, blaspheming the Spirit, you know, blaspheming the church, and, you know, and healing on the Sabbath, and crazy things like that, okay, that don't make it just, it, to you and I, it doesn't make sense, but it didn't matter. He was sentenced by the Sanhedrin to death for blasphemy and technically crucified for sedition, okay? Sedition means an attempt to overthrow the government. So by being called the king, King of Kings, they're saying that he was positioning himself to create a massive coup. Jesus had an incredible following, believe it or not. There's so much about Jesus that we don't hear and we don't know. And the fact that, why are there only 14 million Jews left on earth? And the majority of them are in the U.S. and in Israel. The real reason, yes, we've had some tremendous levels of genocide over the millennia. Centuries, whatever you want to call it, okay? But the truth of the matter is there's only 14 million of them. That is a fragment of the world population, an absolute fragment, right? But why? The real reason is because so many of them had converted to Christianity in the first place. Over time, many of the Jews converted, but we don't hear about this. Once they convert, they're gone, they're out. You don't hear about them again. because the Jewish church, synagogue, whatever, they are not proud of it. They hated it. Even, and then you get to the time of Constantine. Constantine was the master of the creation of the constitutional church. I'm sorry, the biblical church, the Catholic church. My apologies. And Constantine was like 300 AD, far past the death of Jesus. The Catholics claim that on this rock I will build my church, as Jesus said to Peter. So the Catholics believe that they are the ongoing extension of the Church of God. They will also tell you, when you bring up some of the heinous acts committed by the Catholic Church, and they're right, they'll tell you of other religions that have taken that so much further, there's no comparison. One of those such religions is Islam. When they had taken over India, they were slaughtering Indian Hindus in such quantities that the leaders had hills of skulls. I mean, mountains of skulls on their property. So whoever had the biggest hill of skulls was the most powerful warrior type at the time. In a lot of cases, if one took over another, they'd steal the hill of skulls and combine it with theirs. There's areas in India, I know from a friend of mine who's been doing a ministry over there, you know, endlessly. He's he's recorded so many TV shows, they're uncountable now. And they play and replay, and so the gospel's being spread throughout India. And these people have to stand up against Christianity. They have to stand up against Judaism. My brain, that is not accurate at all. These people have to stand up. These Christians have to stand up against Islam. I'm sorry, I was, and Judaism to a degree. So that's where we're at. That's how it got. Anyway, when they're slaughtering Jesus, so they whip the back, they strip all the skin off, not just your back, all the way down your butt, your legs. I mean, just you're done. You're done at that point. You won't live. There may have been somebody that could work at putting you back together, but most of the parts had probably been left on the ground, blood all over. I'm sorry. This is just a fact, folks. Just accept this is what your Savior did for you. Satan had his day with Jesus. God gave Satan his day. I believe because of the God-man manifestation of Jesus, the purity of his soul and his body, because he was so pure, I believe, this is just my belief, I believe that Jesus took the worst beating of any human being ever before or since. I believe that he was equipped for it because of his purity. And Satan had his day. And Satan had his day. He really did. And it was sad. And then, now, you got to remember, you're beat beyond anything you can imagine. There is no food. There is no water. You're now parched. You're dying of thirst. Then you're forced to carry your cross, okay? Well, and when they say carry your cross, you know, a lot of us picture a big cross that you're dragging. No. They would take a great big board that would be maybe similar to a massive railroad tie. They would strap that onto their arms, on their back. And then they make them walk with this for miles, okay? So this thing's rubbing all over these raw, unbelievable wounds on the back. Just pain, pain, pain. There was the gentleman that carried Jesus' cross. It was a gracious act. In fact, he was asked or told, commanded is how it worked, by the Roman guard centurion, whatever they were, Simon of Cyrene. He was chosen to carry the cross for Jesus for a period of time, which was a great kindness, you know. But did you tell the, you know, the Roman soldiers? No, not really. I mean, you could probably say, I can't, my back is bad, or my knees, whatever. But he did it. And then what they do is, now you've been beaten bloody. He's got this crown of thorns stuck in his head. He's dying of thirst. He can't have any water. There was somebody who gave Jesus water. It's very interesting. When he was walking with the cross, the Roman soldiers commanded him not to, and they did it anyway. I watched a movie where they basically showed kind of this spiritual intercession where the spirit just stopped the Roman soldier and allowed this guy to give give him water to drink, etc. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. Once Jesus was on the cross, okay, now you got to remember, they lay you down voluntarily or whatever. The weight of the cross is on, and then they pound nails through your hands and through your feet. They pound the cross together. They pound nails through your hands. They cross your feet. They pound nails through the bones of your feet. They've done all this research that they know exactly where to put the nails. The nails aren't through your hands. They're through your wrist bones, because you can bear the weight there. And again, if this is really gagging some of you, I am so sorry. But this is what the Romans did. They crossed the feet. They pounded the nail through the feet and the hands. And then they lifted the cross up and you hung. And you had to push up on your feet to breathe, because the weight, the way they stretched your body out, you couldn't breathe. The only way you could breathe is by pushing up with your feet and then releasing yourself. And if eventually people would die from fatigue, suffocation, they just would pass out in exhaustion and die. Jesus did not. Now, had Jesus passed out and died, or had he passed out and had he not died, that's where they break the bone of your leg so you can no longer push up to breathe. Again, I apologize for the graphicness of it, but this is what they would do. They'd shove some kind of a board or stick or, you know, big metal rod or something between your legs and snap your legs so you couldn't push up anymore. And then you would suffocate within minutes. Tremendous pain, terrible, heinous acts done by men. The men that conducted Jesus' crucifixion may or may not have come to know him as their savior. I don't know the answer to that. But if they did not, they had a very bad meeting with God when they finally died. And remember, each of us dies. That's a scary part. I, you know, was a very athletic individual, driven beyond drive. And now I've done this in my business where, you know, I'm overwhelmed. I've got a nice staff, but as far as sorting and organizing and building portfolios, the responsibility rests on my shoulders. I take responsibility for it. And so I'm the one that has to conduct this stuff. And it, you know, I just get a lot of nights without near enough sleep. It's been very tough. It's a state of mind or a state that we're in, and you know, it's just what it is. And so because Jesus had died, and the way they stab you in the side, I mean, I'm sorry, folks, but they'd stab the, the person on the cross in the side, when they appeared to be gone, Jesus had already said, it is finished. The clouds were black. I assume the rain came and the weather was terrible. And they were like, that's it. Time's up. He had the thief on one side. He had criminals on both sides of him. They represent mankind. One said, please forgive me. You know, you don't belong here. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The other one cursed him and said, if you're God, get us down off of this. You know, do for me. Do it for me. It's about me, me, me. And this is the difference in people. Many of us command God to take care of us. And there's so many verses that you know, your mom, or you used to hear the saying, God helps those who help themselves. And I remember when I became a believer, they said, that's really not true. There's no scripture to back that up. But in reality, it is true. There's scripture upon scripture. God expects us to act. And from that act, he then will bless us and assist us. If we do nothing, unless we're commanded to do nothing, in most cases, we don't get a lot of assistance. It's just the way it is. So God expects us to act, to do good, and especially to remain content. One thing that's very difficult is for us to be content. We always want more as human beings. It's sadly part of our nature. We want more. We always want more, don't we? We always want more. And we want something different and whatever, you know. So why did Jesus first refuse and then drink the vinegar offered at the cross? That's very interesting. You know, that's a long story I won't really get into. But I think that there's a possibility that it was kind of what he needed to kind of push him over the edge. It was not to quench his thirst. It was just to harass him more, et cetera. And we won't get into that today. I don't have time. But anyway, bottom line is we've got the crucifixion. I kept it relatively simple, but once they cut the side, they see blood or water flow out. That tells them Jesus is dead. Okay, there was prophecy that not a bone in Jesus' body would be broken, and guess what? Not a bone in Jesus' body got broken because he had died. He had given up the ghost. He'd given up the spirit. He had died voluntarily, because he had the power over life and death. And frankly, we don't. And that's what he proved to us that makes him unique. He has the power over life and death. He then descended into hell and stole the keys of Hades and then ascended victorious. So Satan had his day and Jesus has his eternity. It is a complicated story. It is a phenomenal story. There is each piece, a lot of the pieces that I chose not to go into are what they are. They're, you know, each one can be covered in extensive depth, and I'm going to leave that at that. What I'm going to do with the small amount of time I always leave myself is, unfortunately, I can't believe how fast an hour goes. I hate it. I've been trying to touch the end of every show, reasons to own precious metals, right? I've talked about we live in a post 9/11 world. Financial markets are technically melting down, whether or not you realize it. There's so many distractions you don't see it. Everything is anti-Trump and Trump hate and fighting over a stupid wall, which obviously you need a wall. You need some kind of barrier to keep these drug peddlers out. Our hearts need to go out to these people. I know they're evil. There's stories of King Hiram of Tyre and Solomon sending out men to look for gold. They found the mines of Ophir, I believe, in South America, is all the evidence that I've read. And there was shipwrecks from those of Hiram, which were the Canaanites. They have evidence on rocks of this. And then there were the shipwrecks in North America, which seemed to be, in general, in a lot of ways, a lot cleaner version of the Native Americans. The chieftains, the garb that they wear now is very much like those of the pharaohs. It's just with different materials, because they didn't have the same materials available to them now that they did in pharaohic times or early ancient Egyptian times. Okay, so quick. We've got precious metals have proven to be timeless, permanent, respected, and pinnacle forms of true wealth and capital preservation throughout every major civilized society throughout history. They've grown in value nearly 4,000% in the 40-plus years since the deregulation and the abandonment of the gold standard. I think we're getting close to 50 years now. It's been the longest bull market in financial history. Since 2000, precious metals have risen over 600%, while the Dow, the real Dow that was then, the stocks that were in it then, are up, you know, 20% over 20 years, which is about 1% a year, no big deal. S&P 500 is the same. The consumer price index, it tells you what interest rates are. It's artificial. They remove and replace stocks. I'm racing through what we've already done. Investments made in metals back then, and coins especially, would have so far outperformed everything else. We're sitting in an era right now where it is time. It is time, first of all, for you to protect and preserve your capital. We do 401ks and IRAs. If you've got a bunch of money in a 401k or IRA, you call Mike. He gets you hooked up. We get your money transferred over. You get it into a trust. You got to understand 401k is the umbrella. IRA is the umbrella. That's independent retirement account. It's tax-free, or 401ks fall under that along with many others. You are essentially protected, tax-deferred under any of these investment vehicles. Okay, so as we go on, we have an exclusionary index in the consumer price index. It no longer includes the majority factors of food, transportation, real estate, or energy costs, which is what you spend 85% of your disposable income on. Okay, so that when they tell you what inflation is, it's a lie. The problem is you don't get raises commensurate with inflation. All right, you don't get bonuses. You just don't get what you used to get. You don't keep up with inflation, so you're losing spending power all the time. So what's the response? Debt. What's the response, parents, when your kids go to college? Debt. But you have to have a degree. They tell you, you must have a degree. Now you're scorned for not having a degree. You're a bad person if you don't have a degree. I disagree. I've got plenty of collegiate education and degrees, and it's of no use. It'll get you in the door of a very difficult position to begin with, you know, like rent-a-cars and consumer finance and things like that. But then you get experience, and then you eventually hopefully move on and find something that pays the bills well. Most importantly, something that you enjoy, which is very difficult. I've discussed stagflation, which is what we're in. The price of goods continues to increase. Interest rates have been zero. Now they're raising interest rates, which is a strong concern. For the simple fact that we've got so much debt and our deficit is so extreme, our unfunded liabilities are $200 trillion, right? $200 trillion. We've got a problem. There's over $1 million in debt for every man, woman, and child in America. You can't pay it off, okay? So we have entered hyperinflation. Trump doesn't understand it or doesn't care. I think he's a populist. He doesn't care, because it would just hurt his cause. I think Trump has been under this false Russia garbage collusion trash that has absolutely nullified his ability to execute his position as the executive branch. He's had more obstruction of his appointees than any president in the history of the United States. Chuck Schumer, who headed up the Democratic Party, has been ruthless and cruel. Nancy Pelosi, who's now the Speaker of the House, because they won the last election, is just as bad. They, you know, and she's filthy, filthy rich. She's worth tons of money. And then, so we've got all that. We've got monetary inflation, which is an increase in the money supply. So we're pumping money out like it's going out of style. We're bringing money back into the country through repatriotization. No economy, which, you know, monetary inflation is, I love this one because think about it. It's the creation of money from thin air. That's Keynesian economics, right? And it's institutional counterfeiting, which is what? Theft, right? And they do more and more and more. Well, no economy could benefit from an increase in the amount of theft, right? So our deficit, we've discussed our total U.S. unfunded liabilities, we've discussed the dollar performance over 99.5% has dropped. I get frustrated because I keep ending up with the same problem. We are now at war economically with China. China, Russia, North Korea, folks, we're playing with fire, okay? Trump's a very strong man. He is a bull in a China closet. Whoever comes in behind him is going to be critical because these other countries are building up. They're ready to fight. They're ready to go to war. Obama did his apology tour, etc. So we are setting ourselves up for some hard times. We, again, are out of time. Folks, get on Google. Give us a five-star review. Free silver dollar. Nice Morgan silver dollar. Do three reviews. You get two. But bottom line, call us. Get yourself a portfolio built. I don't care how much it is. Give us a call. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.